2020 has been a year marked by dramatic disruptions to the way we live and work and watch movies, and film festivals have been struggling to find creative ways to maintain their momentum amidst the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Film Frontera Filmmaker Showcase and the group's annual programming has met this year's challenges and continues to be an insightful and indispensable platform for female-identifying filmmakers to celebrate and share their work. Joining me to discuss Film Frontera and its upcoming showcase, I'm happy to have the group's co-founder and executive director, Angie Reza Torres, back on the program. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Remotely and safely. I do look forward to the day we can be back in the studio together because I always love talking to you in person, but this is great.
Me too.
It is nice to see you. And first of all, congratulations, 5 years. I think it was 2016, you and a group of creative women here in the borderland decided to create this. Is that right?
Yeah. So 2016, the summer, we were just going to premiere a bunch of shorts made in the El Paso, Las Cruces, mm-hmm. Juarez region. And here we are 5 seasons later.
And it just blew up.
Yeah.
Well, you all were onto something, I think, and it is amazing the progress you've made. I'm wondering, as you look back over those 5 years and celebrate, it is a tremendous milestone. Is there anything noteworthy looking back that really pops out at you as some major development or threshold you all passed where you thought, okay, this is something that's sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, you know, so much has absolutely happened organically, and I wish that I could take every bit of the credit. But I think that, you know, as you said earlier, it's just sort of the right time for something like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us in particular, it was just a whole bunch of little moments, I think, that have since then grown into much bigger ones. And I think what initially started this whole thing was the fact that we had 3 audience members after the first showcase come up to us and say, "You've really got to take this on tour. There's other parts in the country that need to see this. It's so important." You know, there was a lot of rhetoric about immigrants and mm-hmm. border communities at that point, and there still is. But that really sort of set the stage literally for us to reach out of the region and start sharing our stories and our mission of just challenging a lot of stereotypes about these regions. And so from there, you know, that's where things really started developing for us.
Well, it's year 5, and what a year. The film industry is in turmoil. The festival world is in turmoil. Everyone is struggling to figure out how to go on, whether they skip the year or not. But tell us how you're approaching this year, because the show is going on, which is the good news, and that's coming up in November. But what accommodations are you making? How are things going to be different this year?
Yeah, so for sure, we're going to do a hybrid style film festival this year, which is going to include both a drive-in movie theater and online. And so for us, this is extremely exciting because we're able to expand our audience in ways that we, you know, hadn't thought of before. And it seems silly now. I mean, it's just like, well, why not have an online film festival, you know, and make it a sort of hybrid deal? Especially because we've been very fortunate to sell out every showcase. And now it's the chance for us to really see how far we can go with this. We're just trying to prepare and develop. But as this is a crazy year, it's been difficult. And it's taken us a little bit longer to get things organized than it usually does.
The virtual festival will still be chronological in real time. So people will need to log in and watch things as if they were in the theater. Is that right?
Exactly. So you're going to be attending a Femme Frontera showcase live as it happens, as it has the past 5 years. You know, so people will watch me introduce the showcase. Everyone will watch the showcase together. And it's the same thing for our children's showcase, which will be happening right before the filmmakers showcase. And then we'll have the Q&A just as we always have, then streaming it live and people can ask questions live. So it'll be just a really fun event. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you've pivoted pretty easily to this, and I'm excited to see how that expands your audience as well, since people don't have to be in a physical location. And I guess because you have films from literally not just around the region, but around the country and the world, you may actually have quite a lot of international viewers. Is that anticipated?
Absolutely. So this year we have 8 films total, 3 of which come from El Paso, 1 from Juarez. Then we have a couple Santa Fe films. We have a film from Mexico City. And so we're looking very much forward to reaching out. You know, we've had films from all over the world the past 5 years. And so continuing to reach out to those filmmakers in those regions, it's just going to be an exciting time.
This weekend is a big weekend because you're beginning to drop a lot of details on the website, on your femfrontera.org website, so people can begin to get a taste of what's coming. But what are the dates that people should be saving in their calendar to make sure they've got time in their calendar to log in and share all this with you live?
Saturday, November 7th and Sunday, November 8th, we're going to be having our children's showcase and our Femme Frontera filmmaker showcase on the night of the 7th. And then we'll be having panel discussions with regional filmmakers on both days as well, along with a workshop and live chats throughout the week leading up to the festival with the filmmakers that have been selected for the showcase.
I'm so glad to hear that you're going to have live elements, because to me, that's one of the challenges that festivals are trying to figure out, is how do you capture that sort of real-time camaraderie that comes from attending a festival and being with an actual audience, seeing for the first time and hearing an intimate conversation with filmmakers. So I'm really happy that that's still part of it. Shall we assume that this year's program will be similar to the last 4 years, that it'll be a mix of all kinds of films, documentaries, animation, shorts, longer shorts, narratives, everything?
Yeah, everything is a great way to describe it. We every year I feel like we have the most powerful lineups that we could possibly curate in an hour and a half. But on top of that, you know, we're starting to receive a lot more films that are experimental in nature, that are very poetic, very reflective. And so for me, that's how I would describe this year's showcase. This is probably about as intimate as you can get in terms of, you know, it, as much as you can, whether you're going to be there in person or watching from home.
When you and your fellow founders started this 5 years ago, you and I have talked about this before. It really came out at a moment just before the Me Too movement got really a big head of steam, and also the Time's Up movement in Hollywood demanding more inclusion of women and women of color in Hollywood and in filmmaking. And I'm thinking back over those 5 years, you know, now we have many of the guilds have inclusion policies. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has spent the last 4 or 5 years building ways to bring more women and women of color into the Academy. Just watching films, particularly indie films online, I see so many more women in below and above the line credits. Are you hopeful that will continue, that it seems like there is a movement now that is not going to stop until we have parity?
Yeah. I mean, it's complicated. It very much does feel like women are starting to gain more visibility, which is all wonderful and super essential. The problem is that, you know, at the intersection of women of color and the LGBTQ community and trans women, and, you know, they're still being left out at pretty high rates. So, you know, for us as an organization, we've stepped it up to where inclusion means intersection. It doesn't mean just women and then we're good. It's like, we need to make sure everybody's being invited to the table. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for us as an organization, that is our main driving force, I would say, within the past year, is a lot of our programming is starting to become more focused on serving BIPOC, BIWOC, which stands for Black, Indigenous, Women of Color, or People of Color. And so for us, we still realize that that's still a problem, especially Latinas, Latinx, Latinos, you know, I mean, we just had an Emmy, you know, the Emmys, and Latinos were completely left out of the equation. So it's still a fight that for us here on the border, you know, we're in 100%.
It's a good segue to something else that you've been able to do in Femme Frontera, is not just the showcase of female identifying filmmakers and their work, but I know for the last few summers you've done workshops where you're catching girls and young people early, expanding their horizons of what they can create so that they don't feel shut out of any potential prospective career. This year, I imagine, was a challenge. I think you did those virtually. Is that right?
We did. And the most exciting part about it is that we had an additional 3 instructors to really expand on what we teach. Generally, we've been teaching documentary. And so we're able to bring narrative, animation, our adult classes that also included social media filmmaking. So we're talking like how to make Instagram stories and Facebook stories and how to create live chats. So for us, all of that's really important. And, you know, to be able to expand in that way is so much fun. And the kids especially, I mean, I've never seen those kids so excited. You know, we got to speak with them later, and all of a sudden you have these kids being like, this is what I want to do when I grow up. A lot of times kids have fun, it's great, and then they go home and then they kind of forget about it. But this, it felt like there was a very deep impact there. And it was fantastic. And then for our adult classes, it's the same, you know, creative endeavors, professional development. It's all in there when you learn how to make films from your smartphone. And so that was really fun. And we had a BIWOC emphasis when we announced our adult classes. So we asked that it was exclusively reserved for women of color.
Fantastic. And those works and those programs are getting noticed way outside the region. I know that in your 5th year, a sign of your sort of getting out the message is that you've attracted some interest of some pretty major foundations. Tell us about some good news that you're getting this fall.
Yeah. So we were just approved to receive an $80,000 Ford Foundation grant to use over the next 2 years.
Fantastic.
And it's, yeah, I mean, that's the best news ever. So we're just having to get really creative about how we're going to be using those funds in a post-COVID world, but it won't be hard to figure out.
I'm sure you will do it, because you've always got great ideas, you and your group, and I'm so proud of the progress you've made in just 5 years and how this thing has grown. So Angie, always a delight to talk with you, and keep up the good work. I wish you all the best with the final programming for the festival this year. Thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
I've been discussing the upcoming Femme Frontera Filmmaker Showcase and other programs with Femme Frontera's co-founder and executive director, Angie Reza Torres. Femme Frontera will launch this year's screening series, mostly virtually, on November 7th, and you can stay up to date on plans and scheduled films at femmefrontera.org and by liking them on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, Femme is spelled F-E-M-M-E. On Film was edited by Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Stay safe, keep your distance, wear your mask, and thank you for listening to On Film.